Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner. I am a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with speculators and hedgers, anything from farmers, ranchers, ethanol plants, elevators, ranchers, feedlots, and it can range from broker-assisted to self-directed online. If you have any questions with that, feel free to contact me. I also write a newsletter called Turner's Take. I send that out daily, and this is the weekly podcast that anyone can receive. If you like this podcast, feel free to send it along, and also we always appreciate a review on iTunes. So, also, finally, all my contact information is in the show notes, and you can find me on the web at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. So, not going to be a long podcast today. From a macro standpoint, really the big news is the market, stock market, a little bit lower, had a little bit of a sell-off today. Trump, the Chinese president, they can't decide, it seems like, on a meeting location. And the market's kind of hoping that, you know, the whole logistics of setting up this meeting for them to sign phase one isn't the sign of a really bigger deals or bigger issues going on. You know, it sounds like they're agreeing to the trade deal in principle, but when it gets to the nitty-gritty, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, it sounds like to me that they're still having issues. I think a lot of it centers around China probably trying to get as much of the tariffs reduced as possible, and, you know, for them to buy ag goods, while I'm pretty sure on the United States side is the... You know, the tariffs are really there for the technology and the technology transfers and the intellectual property, and less so for the ag side. So you're going to have, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. You know, if they don't get a deal done by December, they may not get one done between now and the election. I mean, the election is now a year away. We're going to be in primaries before you know it. So, we'll just have to see what happens there. As far as the grain markets and livestock, we'll jump into the grains first. We've got the WASDE report on Friday, in less than 48 hours from now. It is going to be the November WASDE in years past has not been a big report we've all been anticipating. In the past, as far as I can remember, it's more of an afterthought as we all kind of really look, as harvest is ending, and we really start talking about, you know, next year's acres, and you know, what's the January report going to look like, and what are stocks, and you know, what's the Brazilian weather, South American weather. You know, this is the time when we really start talking about South America. What's interesting about this year is there is this belief out there that harvested acres and or yield is going to come down for corn and for soybeans, which may happen in the long run, but it certainly doesn't have to happen in this report. I think, you know, we've seen corn back off about 15 cents. You know, it was trading in the mid to high 380s, 390s a couple of weeks ago. Now we're about a month ago. Now we're at, you know, 380 November. You know, soybeans are also having a tough time, but they're holding their value a little bit better. Let's take a look real quick where we closed today. You know, these corn 379, front month of soybeans 927. So I think you gotta wonder, was this most recent rally all to do with the trade deal? It could have been. It could have been just like the post harvest and the trade deal. You know, because we went in corn from, I want to say the front month of corn went from about 354 to 402. You know, from the end of August to the middle of October. And here we are now, we're going from basically a high of 402 in the front month to 378. I would think 370 to 380 is the trading range between now and the WASD, and then we'll just have to see what they say. I have a feeling we're going to be in a slow bleed lower between now and first notice day. It's hard to see them getting this report getting too bullish, even if they do lower harvested acres and yield. The exports are coming down. Exports are so poor for corn. The USDA almost has to lower them. So, you know, it could be one of those things where, yeah, production comes down lower, and so does demand. The only thing, if I had to bet on one thing of which numbers are going to change, it can be the demand number. The demand number, the USDA can look at and say, hey, we are well behind pace. We've got to adjust this. You know, the jury could still be out on the corn yield and corn production. They may choose to wait until January to really comment it aggressively. Also, if, you know, the bulls out there are right about this corn, we're not going to know about it until the January report because we're still going through harvest. The late planted stuff hasn't been harvested yet. The corn's very wet. We don't know what the weights are going to be like. So that is a conundrum right now. So I think we're going to be heading lower for the short term. I think we're definitely in a range, and right now the bias is lower. November is traditionally not the time you want to be long corn, so I'm thinking we just leak lower. I'm not saying we can't go higher, get a South American weather rally. We can get, once harvest is done, we can also get a relief rally also, but for the most part, I think we leak lower here. I like the bear spreads in the futures market. I don't mind being short some futures or some puts. Anything with limited risk to the downside, I like. In terms of our sales and our marketing, I think we're 80% sold in corn right now for this new crop. Let me bring up my spreadsheet. So in corn, we are, 80% sold from average price of 412. I've never been 80% sold in new crop before this early. It's usually 50% is the max, but it just does not look good for next year. So we'll just wait on whatever's harvest. The next sale is going to be after harvest, and whatever we got, we're going to sell or write. Or if we think the market's going to be kind of choppy, we'll write some straddles on it, whatever's in storage. One thing that we are considering is if some people sell the cash, you know, when we make the sales rec, others just sell the futures. If you sell the futures, I'm thinking about rolling these to July and capturing the carry. And what that means is, let's just say, you know, our average price is for, you know, our average price is about 412. You know, let's say we go off the board at first notice day, we're off at 365. Let's make it easy. Let's make it 372. You know, let's say we're up 40 cents. You know, let's say July, you know, right now December is at 378, but July is at, what do we got for July? $4. So that's 20 cents, 22 cents over. We can roll that, put everything in storage, and collect another 22 cents between now and July. Bring our average price up from 412 to 432 for the year. That's an option, especially if that's the biggest benefit of using the futures market for these kinds of things. Same with soybeans too. I think for soybeans, we are 50% sold, average price 931. I'm actually a little bit more bullish soybeans than I am corn right now. I think we could have some higher prices. I wouldn't mind, you know, we haven't technically rolled those yet. I mean, but if we wanted to, if we didn't deliver them or they aren't delivered yet, they're just used as futures hedges. You know, we can look at July 20 soybeans, 963. And just replace those sales to collect another, I don't know, 30 or 40 cents. That is something that is open to. I don't love doing it, and would like to see that price higher for November beans, so maybe we'll hold off on that to wait to do it. But I do like it for corn. And one of the reasons why we do, because speaking of the WASDE report, when we look at our outlook tables, if the USDA doesn't really, you know, let's say they do bring down production, but they also bring down demand, and we're still at a 2.0 billion carryout. Next year, we're going to probably have 94 million acres of corn. Trendline yield is going to be 170.5. The USDA baseline projections, or the early projections, came out, and they, what the USDA does is they kind of have their economists come up with like baseline projections for the projections for the next 10 years. It's always interesting to see when they release that is what's the acres they're going to have, and what's the trend line yield, because the trend line yield they used in that report last week will be the trend line yield in the ag form. I'm not 100% sure, but since I've been following it, they've always been the same number, especially for that yield. Acres can change a little bit, because it's the same group of economists that are, or they're sharing information that are doing it. But planted acres, 94 million, which would mean harvested acres, 87.1. Yield, 170.5 is for next year. You use the supply and demand numbers that the USDA thinks is going to happen. Exports go to 2.1 billion. Ethanol is about 5.4 billion. Feed and residual actually come up a little bit, which is nice to see. And ending stocks are at a whopping 2.7 billion, which means corn at harvest next year, if that's the case, is in the low threes. And meanwhile, Dees 2020 is around $4. Where is Dees 2020 right now? Yeah, it's $4. And so that's, we are only sold for 2020. I'm going to bring up 10/20. We are 30% sold for 2020, average price at around 410. And we do have some basis, kind of short the 20, long the 21. We're about 20% there. So we're about, in theory, about 50% hedged, either with straight sales or just short 20 versus 21 in that. And I'm happy with that. That's also the most I've been since I've been doing this. 2008. So, I mean, it just doesn't look great on paper here. Things can always change. You can have droughts in Brazil. You can have droughts and delays in the United States. So I got to tell you, after this year, I really, it's amazing how much corn and soybeans we are going to produce. Considering the late planting that we had and the season that we did. So, I guess the only way to really kill this crop is extreme drought. Right? I mean, which is what we had in 2012. We had extreme drought. So, it seems like anything else, this crop can make it through it. Or beans and soybeans can make it through it now. So, anyways, 2.7 billion for next year, 2 billion carryout for this crop now. That's coming out of the ground. That's what the USDA is going to probably say. That's what the traders are probably looking at. It just creates a lot of headwinds for corn going forward, where the real rally is probably going to be South America. So in the meantime, I like selling rallies. I like bear spreads. I like put spreads for next year, or selling that are for futures. And the strategy I talked about rolling, just, and I should probably hold a webinar on this, but just imagine this. You have corn in the summer, it's in the ground still. You sell, we sold Dees corn at 420, right? One of the sales was 420. So let's say when it come off the board, we're at delivery, we're at 365, and you still have that cash corn. Well, you can lift it, right, the hedge from like 420 to 365, and that's going to be a 55-cent gain. Then if you plan on storing it yourself, and let's say July is trading around $4, you sell it, and let's say by the end of July we're at 380. So that's another 20 cents that you picked up on the carry and you storing it yourself. So then all of a sudden, whenever you have your final sales price, you're adding 70 cents. So that's when I talk about the carry, or talk about the roll, which I'm going to talk a lot more about now in the newsletter. Now we're at the time of year where, anyone who did the sales on the futures, we kind of cash in and we'll roll it up. We'll roll to July to collect more basis. That works for farmers and who have two things in their favor: one, storage, and two, the liquidity to hold those positions in case we have margin calls. But if you do have that storage and you do have that liquidity, you can see how you can add. You can add a lot to your final sales price if you play the market that way, and that's using the carry to your advantage. As far as soybeans go, when I look at the soybean table, it's a lot more rosy to me. I'm seeing ending stocks in the mid 400s right now. I think it can come down, but even if it stays in the mid-400s, the ag form, not the ag form, the baseline projections for next year, planted acres, 84 million, harvested acres, 83.2 million, this is beans, and the yield was 50.5. We could see the trend line yield be next year when the ag form comes out. If that's the case, and the USDA is assuming some better demand, so maybe they're pricing in a more Chinese demand. But that brings us to, we do grow the ending stocks, but only from 460 to 520, and that's with no, and you never know. I mean, the thing is, like, mid, you know, 500 ending stocks, 450 ending stocks, doesn't take long. It doesn't take a whole lot to get you down to 350 or 300, or at least the scare of losing 100 or 200 million bushels in soybeans can have some nice rallies. So I don't want to be as aggressive on soybeans in terms of our marketing, even if we do end up with 500 million carryout at the end of next year. Along the way, we will have scares where it might be less, and that will push up prices. So I actually think beans at some point can get to $10 next year, and that'll probably be our next target. But we do need a Chinese deal. It seems like a lot of this rally, unfortunately, has just been all predicated on China. I mean, we go back to the end of August, front month beans was about 850, and then based on the hype of a Chinese deal, we went to 940, went up 80 to 90 cents, you know, over the course of 2 months. And here we are kind of hanging around this 920, 930 level, and we're still waiting on this deal. If we don't get the, I mean, it's been deal, and it's also been the reduction of acres, and, you know, and the carryout coming down, and all those other things too, and the stocks coming down. But, you know, now the rest of this is predicated on some kind of Chinese deal, and we'll see if that happens. I think it's going to be neutral. If I had to pick a direction, I'm more neutral to bullish on soybeans, kind of bearish on corn here. And again, the same marketing strategy I talked about with corn is something to do with soybeans. I can see farmers holding on to soybeans and selling corn. If you're going to do that this year, you could buy some cheap calls to replace the corn sales, but I don't think that's necessary right now. If there is a chance for the corn rally, I think it'd be more at the end of the month, because as we come into first notice day, we're just going to see delivery pressure most likely based off of that D's contract. That's what we usually tend to see in the market anyway. So that's our view on the grain markets. We got the WASDE on Friday. If you're long, I'd look for some put protection, whether it be long in the futures or in the cash. I actually don't even mind taking outright short. I like selling D's first July. If you don't have any skin in the game, or you're not too sure what to do, I think I'd really want to be on the short side. I know there are a lot of bulls out there, but I just don't see it over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully I'm wrong in the WASDE, and the prices go higher. As far as livestock goes, we did have a down day today. The talk of, you know, the trade deal getting pushed back to December hurt hogs the most. At one point, I want to say we're down $1 or $2. Also, cattle has had quite the tear. You know, we're up over $20 since the Tyson fire, maybe $25. That's shown some weakness too. That is healthy. That is a healthy correction. The hogs was a little bit more disappointing. So that's where we are. We're going to stay heading into the WASDE report. If there's going to be a bearish surprise, I'm thinking if there's going to be a surprise, it'd be corn bearish, soybeans bullish. We'll just have to see. There are ways to buy just some cheap options that expire on Friday or next Friday. To kind of take a flyer on it, I'll be looking at those. Otherwise, we'll just see what happens here. There'll be bigger moves and better prices at another date. But what I always like to see in the WASDE report is the funds are short corn, but there are longs, a lot of longs out there. The funds are long soybeans. I think they'll stay long soybeans because of the potential setup. I think you could see farmers throwing in the towel, and the longs throwing in the towel if demand comes down, and yield could even inch up. FC Stone raised their yield, I think Informa did too. And the USDA doesn't have the evidence right now to really lower yields a whole lot. So if we're over 2 billion, we could see further weakness in corn. So that's where I am. If you have any questions about what you want to do ahead of the WASDE, please contact me. If you like this show podcast, please go ahead and review it on iTunes. We always appreciate that. I am starting to get my speaking schedule solidified for December, January, and February. Those are the 3 months I do speak, and I'll share more of that later. So have a great week. Good luck with the WASD. If the WASD has a huge surprise in it, we'll do a second podcast on Friday afternoon. If not, it's just going to be a newsletter. Otherwise, I'll talk to you next week. All right, good luck out there.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.